As a study, when you go through it like we've been, verse through verse and chapter by chapter, we saw early on in the book of Judges, and it's been a while since we started the book of Judges, in the introduction of the book, that we made the statement that the book of Judges is not written in a chronological order, meaning that it's not chapter 1 and then the events of chapter 2, then the events all the way up to chapter 21. It's kind of broken up, and that's what we'll see a little bit tonight as we get into chapter 17. It's one of them changing points in the book of Judges. Judges 17. Good to be in church.
Amen.
Good to see you here on a midweek service. Amen. I continue to pray for those you don't see. Amen. Thank God for those that we do see. Amen. Judges 17. Amen. Verse number 1. What's the first word there?
Amen.
All right, follow along as we read. Verses 1 through verse 6 is what we'll be studying. I think what we'll do is we'll read the whole chapter. It's only 13 verses. It's a story that's told about what's happening here, but we'll study the six verses in our study tonight. The Bible said, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah." And the Bible said, "And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee out about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gold and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judea, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he journeyed there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judea, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judea, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord would do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. God help, amen. Let us pray. Brother James Martin, how about pray for us, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for your blessings once again. You're so good to us, Lord. Just give us so much.
Yes.
We ask that you would touch us here tonight. Lord God,
help your pastors,
you preach us your word.
This message change our
hearts. What we have need of, Lord God, I pray that you open hearts, open eyes, open ears, open understanding, Lord. Hear this word, using our service to be, Lord. Touch hearts.
Yes, yes,
Lord.
Lord.
We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
If you are taking notes, amen, we'll be looking at the first six verses under the title of Family Idolatry. Family Idolatry. As we have come to chapter 17, we have looked at the special judges that God had raised up to do his work. In chapters 3 through chapter 16, there were different judges that God raised up to deliver the children of Israel from the hands of certain enemies, out of certain regions in the place that God had given to him as their inheritance. And so these judges were raised up to deliver from different enemies that God allowed to come upon them because of their evil doing time after time. Now that we've come to chapter 17, on up to chapter 21, which is the last verses within the chapter in the book here, you'll find that there's a change going on. This was an age of lawlessness, amen, the book of Judges in general. There was no royal authority through the book of Judges other than the judges that God raised up that we've studied. There was no obedience and conformity to God's law. They were strictly against what God said, amen. Every man done that which was right pretty much in his own eyes, amen. Why? Because there was no king in Israel. These chapters will show us the corruption spreading from home, which starts out here in the house of Micah with his mother. It'll go on from the home to the community, amen, which takes place a little bit further in this chapter. It'll go from the community to the region, and then ultimately in the book of Judges, it'll spread nationally. Amen. That's how sin does. It begins to grow and multiply. It doesn't stay in one simple place. If it was, we'd be able to contain it in our own lives, but it doesn't happen like that. It entered into that home. It spread to that community. It went regional, amen, and then it went national, amen. That is the spread of sin, as we'll see as it plays out in the rest of the book of Judges, amen. In general, in the first chapters that went with the judges that were raised up, that's chapters 3 through chapter 16, it was pretty much showing the corruption, amen, the external problems within the people of God. And these external problems were shown with the things and actions that were done. But as you get to chapter 17 through chapter 21, it's more general, speaking about some internal problem. It's not just external, it's internal. Amen. There's more going on throughout these judges that are raised up that kind of goes along with what's going on in the rest of the book. So we saw the judges, chapters 3 to chapter 16, the pretty much general external corruption within the people and sin. Now as we study chapter 17 through chapter 21, we'll see the internal problems that take place. These final chapters take place chronologically back to chapters 1 and chapter 2. What's going on in these chapters in chapter 17 through chapter 21 has already taken place pretty much when you come to chapter 17 where Samson, the last judge, in his death, and then rolling over to the book of Ruth, and ultimately in the book of Samuel where God raises up kings. Amen. Starting with David, of course, his choice, but they got Saul first of all. So chapter 17 through chapter 21 is not chronological. It's not at the end of the story of the book of Judges. It's already taken place chronologically in the history of the study of the book. If you turn back to chapter 2 with me, look here, Judges chapter number 2. Look in verses number 11. These are the verses in these chapters that kind of coincides with chapters 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Judges chapter 2 in verse number 11, the Bible says this. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. This is what's going on in chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, the male god and the female god, amen. Hey, that's the thing about the world, amen. If you're not going to serve the true and living God, you're going to serve some type of god, amen. And it was in their case, they served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And this is what's going on. This is the home worship that's being corrupted here with Micah and his mother, which spreads out in that community, which goes out to the region, which goes nationally. Look in chapter 3 of the book of Judges in verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel has not known all the wars of Canaan. So God left some of these enemies there to kind of work them up a little bit of grit in their crawl, if you will. And some of it was because of their sin, of course, that they were serving other gods. But they also to prove them, to kind of give them a little bit of grit and a little bit of a stand up against the stinking world that they were going to face. Only that the generations were of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. This is why he left. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. So at this time, a lot of the children of Israel knew nothing about war. Everything they'd had been handed over to them. It's kind of like if you'd make a practical application, it's like the generation we're living in. The Laodicean age, if you look at it as prophecy in the book of Revelation, everything in this age in Christianity is concerned, for the most part, it's been handed over to us.
Yep.
All the labor was done by our forefathers that plowed and shut down the liquor industry and stood up against this old stinking world and set this nation in revival at one time. All that work was done before we ever showed up on the scene, and it's been handed over to us.
Yep.
And if we're not careful, God's going to allow some wars to go our way to try to get a little grit in our crawl, and we might stand up in the last days not knowing what we might have to face before the rapture of the church takes place.
Amen.
The Bible said, here's some of the lords, namely, verse 3, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Bel-Hermon unto the entering of Hamath, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Here's the thing, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. What did they do? They began to intermix with this old world, where the Bible says in us in the New Testament, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You got no dwellings with that wicked generation, amen, but they've made relationships with them. They took up the world's wives and the world's men, amen. It's still going on in our world today. There's no separation in the church. People are just spreading out in the world. They're marrying people that don't love God. They're marrying people that don't even know God, and they're picking up their gods and serving their gods instead of the true and living God. It is what's going on in our land today.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. God sees it all. Forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. So turn back to chapter 17. So when we're studying chapters 17, 18, 19, and 21, it's going along with what went on in chapters 2 and chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 3 before the judges came out on the scene. Amen. And what we see here in chapter 17 that took place way back then is family idolatry. Amen. When there was no king in Israel, amen, that was right in their own eyes. While these judges were being raised up, this hell was breaking out. A family idolatry was everywhere. It was on the rampage. The devil will attack the home, amen, so he can spread it out into a bigger picture, amen. That's what he did in the beginning. Of course, that's all he had was Adam and Eve, but it was a home that God set up, and the devil's always attacked the home. He's going to attack your home. He's going to attack my home. He's going to try to attack our home so he can attack our community and spread out a little bit further and then overtake the whole thing. But he's going to center in on you as a husband or wife trying to raise some children that will serve God.
Yep.
And that's the way it'll work in a church. This church is a community, if you will, of believers that have been called aside at this church to serve the Lord out of a Hopewell Independent Baptist Church. And the devil's going to attack the individual homes so he can attack the church in general. And this is the work of the devil. And he loves to do it with family idolatry. And this is what takes place in this passage. And we'll look at this thing three ways, as we've done in every study we've tried to do. Number one, verses 1-3, the demonic worship. There's demonic worship going. That's why there's family idolatry, amen. And the demonic worship comes along with corrupt morals. Number two, in verses 4-5, we'll see the dead ways. And the dead ways that's going on in their family idolatry leads to corrupt religion. The morals are corrupt, so the religion comes corrupt. And the demonic worship led to the dead ways, which lastly, in verse 6, leads to doing wrong in general, which is the corruption of their sight. Number one, the demonic worship. That's a strong term, amen, demonic worship.
Yeah.
It's a lot of demonic worship going on in this whole world that's claimed to be worship of God Almighty.
Yeah.
What's going on in a lot of places is not worship of God.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of steeple they got on the place, amen. And I would say I don't care what kind of song bus, but they didn't throw them out for a bouncy ball. I would say it doesn't matter what kind of Bible. They have made God a Bible, amen. They got some corrupt garbage behind a pulpit with a man that's being dictated by others, amen. And don't have the authority of God and no book to stand on, and it's demonic worship going all over our land.
Amen.
It ain't a God. Every everything that says the church is not a church.
Amen.
The devil has his ministers transformed as angel of lights. Amen. And we better wake up our eyes to the demonic worship. And we are sad to say in our Bible believing circles, some people get this mentality, well, as long as they go into church.
Yeah.
Hogwash, man. They ain't going to church. I mean, if they were going to a church, yes, it'd be so. Yeah. But what they're going to is not a New Testament Bible church. Amen.
Yeah.
The devil loved to get you out of a good Bible believing church. Have you out there doing some demonic worship, amen, where they skip and dancing and carrying on with all the devilish worship, the worship of this world. It has nothing to do with God, of worship of a God Almighty, which shall be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
You know what you got? You got another spirit, and you got something that's surely not truth going on.
Amen.
Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. If they ain't got a King James Bible, they ain't standing on truth.
Right, right.
So what kind of spirit you think is going to come out of it?
Yes.
You say, preacher, that's kind of a little narrow-minded. Yeah, that's just the way it is. God said the way's straight and narrow. That broad way goes to destruction. And you take that thing spiritual when it comes to worship, amen. A lot of people's going that broad way and they worshiping a lot of things that is not God Almighty.
Amen.
A lot of movements going on that ain't got God nowhere around it, amen. And we need to be careful. And a lot of us have family members who are in that stuff. I don't think anybody in here probably ain't got somebody in that type of demonic worship. But they don't see it as demonic. But it's a, you know what it does? It corrupts your morals. You know, I tell you, you got to corrupt. You know you got a bunch of, most of it's just a social gathering. And it's all a bunch of unmoral garbage. And there's no standards. There's no righteousness. There's no holy living. Amen. Why? Because it's demonic worship claiming something to be of God that surely if you had your eyes open, you could see it wasn't even close to God.
Amen.
Think about this verse number one. And there was a man on the Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Here's Micah. You know what the word Micah means? It means like the Lord. Like the Lord. I mean, you could tell as we study the passage here, started in chapter 17, he goes on through the book a little bit more here, you'll see his life played out. He's everything but like the Lord. He didn't live up to his name. And I say that to say this, hey, the Bible says in the New Testament that us that are born again should be called Christians. Do you know what the sad reality of it is? A lot of us are not living up to the name. Micah didn't live up to name Lord like the Lord. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. And just as Micah's not living up to the name, a lot of God's people that are blood-washed are not living up to the name of a Christ-like Christian in this world. It's corrupted our morals and the way we live, and they can't see any difference in us than they see in the world. It's coming from a lot of demonic worship that's going on in their lives. Look at how it plays out in the idolatry of the family and the demonic worship that goes on. The Bible said in verse number 2, and he said unto his mother, here's that Micah. What did he say to his mama? What did he tell his mama? The 1,100 shekels of silver were taken from thee about which thou cursed. Somebody has stolen 1,100 shekels from his mama. And his mama said, curse the one that stole it. What a sorry joker broke in my house and stole my 1,100 shekels of silver. And he's cursed, and I pray to God to curse him, and she might have been cursing herself, probably. More than just some cursing going on. It's a bunch of idolatry going on. An abundance of the heart, a mouth to speak. And a bunch of hell raising and cussing going on. He's cursed, she's cursing everything that's going on. And her son sitting there hearing every bit of it is going on. And the cursing going on of his mama. And he's the one that stole it. Look what happens in verse 2. Again, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears. He didn't hurt her do all the cussing. Can I tell you something? Them young is hearing everything you saying.
Amen.
That's everything we say.
Yes, sir.
And we better be careful what we say out of our mouths. Sometimes even repeating things that are so, because it gets turned around in their minds that the devil would love to do to make them think that, hey, who are they? Look how they talk. You ever sit down like, I get around talking about some things sometime, you're dealing with church business and church things, and you start speaking to somebody about something, and the Holy Ghost hits me, there's little kids over there listening to that stuff. And a lot of it might even be true that you're saying, but it ain't got no business being their ears, because it'll be turned up how they going to see it. What's a preacher? He'd run his mouth about everybody. And what kind of character does the preacher got if he's got a mouth running off about everybody? He's just trying to take care of business. Yeah, but there's a place to take care of business and a place not to take care of business. There's a place to talk about stuff and sometimes a place not to talk about it. In the home, when the mom and daddy's talking about something, there's some stuff just between mom and daddy other people don't need to hear. Amen. There he is. She done. He done heard all her cursing and going on. I wonder what our youngest have heard out of us.
Yeah.
That family idolatry is going on. It's coming from that demonic worship that's going on. That's going to lead to that family worshiping demonic devils and setting up their way of worship of God. That's what he ends up doing. Where'd he get it from? He got it trained out of the house. Look, he said, and spake us also in mine ears. Look, go, look back in the middle of verse 2. Behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. You know what she does? This demonic worship going on and this family idolatry. Her son is stole from her. Flat out stole her silver. What a sorry person to steal from a mom and a dad. That's the way this old world will get you. Get you out on dope and drugs. You steal everything mom and daddy's got. Get you out in the hard way, living like the devil and living like hell. And you'll take everything they got from them. And you forget they raised you and gave you everything you got. You're sleeping under their roof and stealing right out money. What a sorry individual that is. What a sorry boy this was. And he heard all the cursing and going on. The curses mom had put on it. And he kind of said, you know, enough's enough. Mama, I took it. And here's what she said. Blessed be the Lord, my son. You tell me that ain't demonic. Well, the Lord bless you for stealing. Well, the Lord's with him. It's a bunch of, that's how blind this stinking world is. They blessing stuff that ain't got no business blessing.
Yeah, you're right.
Why'd you go bless the boy for stealing? Somebody should have chased him and rebuked him for his lifestyle. You know what's going on? A bunch of family idolatry. It's a bunch of parents that's not holding children accountable for the wicked lifestyle that they're living.
Amen.
Well, the Lord loves you. You're eternally secure. You're going to heaven. We love you. I love you. Yeah, but what about the repercussions for your sin and your wrongdoing?
Yeah.
He coming back saying, hey, I stole from you, mama. I'm kind of like the prodigal. I'm no worthy to be your child. And you know, none of that. It's just like, man, I'm just sick and tired of hearing all the cursing.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you're going to find out anyhow, so I just tell you. That's the way most of you live. Well, we're going to tell just because we got caught. You ain't telling because you're sorry to God. It's a bunch of demonic worship and family idolatry that's going on. And mamas and daddy ain't got enough the grit to say, hey, yeah, we love you too, son. And I hate you done it, but you ain't going to get by with it.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to go cry wolf because you got caught. And that's what our children do. They good about it. We're going to cry wolf because we got caught. What about the repercussions? What about the chastening? What about, hey, being held accountable for your wrongdoing?
Amen.
You got to have a balance, people. I'm telling you, we've lost the balance in raising our children. Hey, I'm all for forgiveness, man. My children broke my heart. Me and my wife cried our eyeballs out, and we bled the blood over stuff. Hey, but you know what? Hey, we want to forgive them. We want to wrap our arms around them. We will rightfully do, but you still got to be held accountable for what you've done wrong.
Yeah.
We ain't just going to sweep it in the run night like it never happened. We're going to deal with it how we can, and then we'll try to put it behind us and go on. But they've got to learn that what comes with wrongdoing is repercussions for your actions. We catch our children out there living like hell, mess around that technology and computers and telephones, and we say, well, they said, well, I was doing wrong. I'm going to tell you what I did. The only reason they're telling you because you called them on it. And then here's what we do. Well, the Lord forgive you. Let's say a prayer. Go to your room. Take your telephone with you. What about taking the stinking thing away? What about repercussions? You know what she said? The Lord bless you. That's what we're saying. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you for your wrongdoing. How you going to bless somebody for living like hell?
Amen.
How you going to say it's okay by God? Where's the repercussions? Where are we teaching these children? But when you do wrong, you got to give an account for your wrongdoings. That's the way the world's changing the world. He'll catch them selling dope, slap them on the wrist, let them go and sell some more.
Yeah.
That's why they keep selling. That's why the prostitute keeps going back. That's why the hell raising and killing keeps going on, because there's no accountability for their sins.
Yeah.
Like what Donald Trump said the other day in that speech he gave. He talked to that guy in that summit. He said, you know what? He asked him, he said, I forget where the place was. He said, man, y'all got drugs everywhere? He said, no, we ain't got no drug problem. Donald Trump said, why don't you have a drug problem? He said, because we kill them. And so they don't sell drugs. And what Donald Trump said is pretty much what we do in America. We slap them on the wrist, give them a fine, let them go back and sell some more. There's no accountability. You say, well, to kill them, I don't have strength to go about it. But there had to be some repercussions for your own doing to make you think twice about doing it again.
Amen.
We're raising a generation where they don't think twice because they got by, get by again.
Amen.
So we keep going back. That's demonic is what it is. The devil pat you on the back and say, it's okay, go ahead. It's corruption of morals. She's blessing her son for stealing. No chastening, no rebuke, no true repentance. He's just afraid for the curse that's coming his way. He's afraid that he got called. Amen. That's what's going on a lot in our homes. And that's why we got a lot of family idolatry.
Amen.
Hey, it goes on a little bit further. And she only blesses him in verse 2. Look in verse 3. The Bible said, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver, he gave it all back. His mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. From my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molded image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. You know, tell me, some demonic worship's going on in this family. There's no repercussions for the wrongdoing of her children. And she's taking something that the Lord has blessed her with and using it to buy false gods and doing it in the name of Jehovah God. She's going to go build a golden image and a molded image with the money that God's blessed her with because she wants to build something to the Lord. Does she not know what the Deuteronomy law says about graven images? That, well, you know what God said about graven images? Hey, look here, hold your place here and look in Exodus chapter number 20. And where the Ten Commandments is listed over here in Exodus 20. She's going to make a graven image unto the Lord. It's amazing how much we claim we do unto the Lord that ain't of the Lord. I mean, God ain't going to have no graven images to him. I mean, the law made it very clear in Exodus chapter number 20. Look in verse number 4. The Bible said, thou shalt make unto thee, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven what? You know what she said? I'm going to take this 1,100 shekels of silver. I'm going to make a graven image and a molten image. We're going to make some statues to worship the Lord. They claiming false worship to be God worship. That's demonic. And that's what's going on in our world. We worshiping God. God ain't nowhere around a bunch of strobe lights and a bunch of naked girls dancing on your stage. And the ungodly music is beaten and blasted out of the speakers that ain't got nothing to do with God. Well, he's even afraid to mention Jesus or God.
Amen.
It's contemporary, new age, demonic worship's what's going on. Yeah. But we're doing it to the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord's moving. Somebody's moving, but it ain't the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
There's a spirit there, but it ain't the spirit of a Holy Ghost and a Holy God.
Amen.
That's what they're claiming. I'm going to build this image to the Lord. You tell me that ain't demonic. When God done said you ought not to do it, look in verse 4 again. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord, I the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And he's got the commandments listed there in Exodus chapter number 20. Back in Judges chapter number 17. You know what he's saying? God said, I ain't having no worship like that. And you know what she said? We're going to build it to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what's going on in the budget? You know, people don't like name calling, but you know, this so limp-wrist generation we live in don't know nothing about real Bible preaching. You ain't supposed to call out other religions, they say. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's demonic, it's demonic.
Amen.
Your Bible teaches that type of principle. Name them, mark them, which cause division. That Catholic institution of Rome is straight out of pits of hell.
Amen.
And the worship of the images of Mary and other images, and you go in these places that say they love the Lord, they got these little gods of images out there. What are you doing bowing down worshiping that kind of garbage? You go to, that's what you know. You say, well, that's over there in some foreign country. We're over the Philippine Islands. I can still, in my mind's eye, I can see we went up there and them dragons out there. And the dragons is a bunch of devil mess. There's a place of worship and shrine that they got built up on the top of that mountain. And you go up and they got bowls of apples and bowls of oranges and bananas. And it's their worship of giving fruits to their gods. And you get over there in the corner and the guy's over there on an 8-foot ladder painting his god because he's fading away. Come on, man. You got to have better sense than that. Your guy's got to be tend to. Put some mortar in him. He's cracking. Fix his arm back up. And they got the incense burning in there and places laid out. And they're laying on those incense and they're praying. And they got all these other gods up there. And they got their god was the god of the seventh sky. And they see over the Philippine Islands and they're worshiping their god. And they got their god Jesus. You know, they don't mind you worshiping Jesus as long as you worship Jesus along with all the other gods.
Yeah.
But Jesus, God is a jealous God. He ain't sharing his glory with nobody. There is only one true and living God. Amen. People say, well, we believe Jesus and Buddha and a little bit of Muhammad. No, dude, that's the demonic worship is what that is. It's Jesus or nobody. Amen. That's the way the Bible made it clear, amen. But it's a bunch of demonic worship and it's corrupting their morals. She's making an idol, breaking the commandments of the Lord. Do you know the Roman Catholics take the commandment of thou shalt not worship idols and remove it out of their commandments? Do you know that? If you get, go look it up. I challenge you. You got internet, every one of you do. You know, smartphones, technology. Go look up the Roman Ten Commandments. And you know what you will not find? This commandment where it says thou shalt not worship any golden images. But the only problem is they took that one out and they still got 10. How in the world you get 10 if you take one out? You know what they did? They took the 10th one and coveted thy neighbor's goods and coveted thy neighbor's wife and they split it into two of them. Check it out. That's how they still got 10. The 9th and the 10th, when one of them is coveting his neighbor's wife, the other one's coveting his neighbor's goods. And that was one commandment in its own. But they had to make it still look like 10. That's the work of the devil. That's the thing with these new versions that's out there on the market. Amen. People following hook, line, and sinker for them. And they take out this and add a little bit of that and make it look good, you know. But it's straight out of the pits of hell is what it is. The Roman Catholics remove it to make it look good. It's demonic worship. Demonic worship. It's a corruption of morals. Amen. Verse 4 and verse 5, you see the dead ways. Their demonic worship leads to dead ways. What are the dead ways? Look in verse number 4. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took how many? 200 shekels of silver. You remember how many he stole from her? 1,100. And he took 200. What are the other 900? And he gave them to the founder. Remember what she said back in verse 3? That the 1,100 shekels of silver was to wholly be dedicated to the Lord. And now, you kind of remind you of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, don't it? Keeping back part of it. They even keep it back part of it when they do it to their false gods. Amen? And gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. These images, a graven image and a molten image. And the Bible said in the end of verse 4, and they were in the house of Micah. You know, some people try to say, well, there's they. Sure, if there's they, there's two images, a golden image and a what? Molten image. Later on, as you study the book of Judges, it will play out and you study the life of Micah, you see this golden image and this molten image going in, and then finally there's just one image. Either they do away with one, or at this point they're talking about the same image, just the way it was created. Maybe they molded the image, amen, out of wood, and then covered it with their silver. Amen. Covered it with their metal, that molding. So one was graven, it was carved, the other one was molding. Maybe they were two separate, or maybe it was one that was made out of wood and then covered with their metal in a molding image. Amen. Melted down and poured over it. I don't know how it went, but that's how it plays out. But nonetheless, you know what they're doing? They're worshiping graven and molding images. Worshiping things that are against God. Out of the 1,100 shekels, they only take 200 to purchase their gods and make their gods. She cheated her gods, or maybe later on even used some of the money to buy more gods. That's what happens in verse 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods. He had more than just that. And an ephod. You know, that ephod was what the priest wore when he went in before the Lord to pray. And so here's their demonic worship. They got their ephod. They got their garments that they put on their priest, which ain't a Levite, which eventually he gets him one later on in the chapters we read to try to make it look right. But they got their ephod. Maybe she used it to buy some of the ephod and the teraphim and consecrated one son who became his priest. He makes his own son his priest. You know, might keep the thing in the family, make it look good. But it's a bunch of dead ways. It's a corrupt religion is what they're building here. And more idols coming along. They're hidden sins in the passage here. If you take and you look back in the new American version of the Roman Catholic Bible that came out in the early parts of the Bibles being printed, and now there's multitudes of them out of all kinds of different forms. But the early versions of the Catholic, you know what they took out? They took out the shekels of silver. They took out the founder. They took out the graven images. What are they doing? They're removing things that associate themselves with their sins. So that's what religions do. They get their Bibles to match their lifestyle. So if you're going to have a Catholic Bible, get you one that takes out the sins that shows Catholics being wrong. If you're going to be a Jehovah Witness or a Charles Taft Russellite is what they originally was, then you got to get a Bible that lines up with their religion. And so that's what these religions has done, from Mormons to Catholics to Jehovah Witness, and even in the Baptists, amen, and Pentecostals and Holies, they get Bibles that match their lifestyle. Because you got to make your religion look good. But you know what it is? It's corrupt morals that's leading the corrupt religion. Everything that says is God's not God.
Amen.
And people are, and listen, I'm not trying to be rude and cruel and ugly to people that are out there and that kind of stuff, because a lot of them just out in there just in straight ignorance. They don't know no better. You know, some of them have been shown and then they went the other way. That's where they become stupid. But some people just don't know. They've never been taught. I mean, how would we know if we wouldn't have been taught? Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me? If we would take time tonight and stand up and testify, some of you could testify about the times that you were in that kind of religion that you were just ignorant to real truth until the Lord and the Holy Spirit came by and revealed that truth unto you and woke you up to that reality. That's what they need. That's why somebody's got to take the Word of God out there and try to help these people. But these that are in our ears and these young generations that's coming up, they need to know that kind of stuff's not right. You know why we got a generation now of, you know, the 40s and 50s that I can preach like this and you take it? Because there was the forefathers that preached it the right way, called all that stuff out, and you knew it was wrong. In this generation we're raising, when we're scared to speak against other religions and other garbage, we're raising these other young kids up, and they're not knowing whether it's right or wrong, and they're following and going to those churches and worshiping those kind of ways, and why can't we all just get along? Because people are scared to stand up and preach against it in the day we're living in. They ain't going to know unless somebody tells them. We shouldn't be ashamed to stand up for what's right and stand up for our God and speak the Word of God truth and bluntly. But it's a corrupt religion that's going on. They're hidden sins. Their sins are removed so it looks good. Kind of like people take out of Acts, that, you know, where the Ethiopian eunuch said, what does hinder me to be baptized? And he said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And they go down the water and baptize, and they leave out, I believe that Jesus Christ, you know, you take Jesus out to make it look like baptism saves. That ain't nothing but the devil. Who wants a Bible that teaches that baptism saves? The Campbellites do. So you got to get a Bible that removes Jesus Christ out of the story so it looks like the Ethiopian eunuch got saved when they put him in the water. It backs up their lives. It backs up their religion. But it's corrupt. There ain't but one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. There ain't one way but one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's a corrupt religion. It's the way the world's going. There are many corrupt religions backed up by corrupt Bibles. And that can't be repeated too much. Young people, there's religions all over this world, and they're backed up by corrupt Bibles. And I don't even like to use the word Bible, because there ain't but one true Bible.
Amen.
And that is your King James Bible, amen. Not a New King James or all the other garbage. And if you got one of the other ones and it's out of ignorance, you need to sit down and we'll take the Word of God and show you truth, and you need to get out from under that mess. It ain't going to corrupt your life. It's no good. They had a problem with the one true God, verse 5. And that's why he made his own God. He made his own priests. He took Micah. The Bible said in verse 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods. And we just like them all. And made an ephod, teraphims. He made his way to approach God and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. You know what? If we can't find one like we like, we'll make our own. Do you know why most of the churches in America have been built? Because people didn't like truth and they said, we'll go make our own.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to go outside of Richmond County. That most of the churches in Richmond County started off splits. Because people want to do their own. And that's what he does. I'll make my own.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming from a family full of idolatry, and you got a bunch of family idolaters that are starting their own churches. We'll show them. Go ahead. What you going to show? God sees it all. They got a problem with one true God. Amen. Look in Psalms chapter 82 real quick. Psalms 82. Real quick. Not much longer. Take a deep breath. Family idolatry. It's demonic worship which corrupt their morals. Amen. It is dead ways that's corrupted their religion. Psalms 82, verse number 1. If I wrote it down right. You got it? The Bible says in Psalms 82, verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the what? Gods. Who does? God Almighty does. There's a bunch of gods in this world, but they ain't but one true God. Amen. Those little g gods. It's blind in the minds of them that believe not, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Look in Psalms 135. It's only one true God. It's only one true way. Psalms 135, verse number 5. The Bible says this, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above what? All gods." You know what Jesus Christ said in the New Testament? John 14, 6. Listen, He said, "I am the way." The way. You get that? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Amen. That's narrow. That's one way. They said, "Well, I believe you'd be baptized. Well, I believe in Buddha. I believe we're all going to be there." No, we ain't all going to be there. Amen. We ain't all the children of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, some of you are the children of the devil. And the only way you became a child of God is God saved your wretched soul through the blood of only Jesus Christ. Amen. That's narrow-minded. That's what the world needs to hear. Yep. Well, I can't believe God sent all these religions to hell. If they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they deserve all the hell they can get. Amen. But we know so limp-wristed in our society. You know what He said in Acts 4 and 12? He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way. That's how narrow it is. But this religion that's corrupt is a dead one, buddy. They got a problem with one true God, so we'll just make our own. Micah sets up his false priesthood. That's what he does. With the ephod, consecrated, got a priest. Boy, we got it. Here it is. That don't mean it's God.
Amen.
You know what the problem was with what he made anyhow? Other than any having a problem with one true living God, under the law, God chose one tribe to be His priest, and it was the Levites. And they from Mount Ephraim, Micah and his family. So you know what Micah does a little bit later on? When a Levite comes down from Bethlehem, Judea, he tries to tighten up his religion a little bit, make it look good. Probably somebody come by there and say, "Man, what kind of false God are you worshiping?" Yeah, he's supposed to be a Levite, so he made a Levite. Get one of them, make it look good. That's the way the world does. Still wrong. Under the law, God chose the tribe of Levi to be His priest. Under the New Testament, you know what? We're all kings and priests that are saved.
Amen.
Amen. You know what that means? I ain't got to go to some man dressed like a woman and tell him my sins.
Amen.
That's a Catholic priest. Amen. I ain't got to go over to that man they call father that looks like mother, you know, the old saying, and go tell him my sins, because I can go straight through the throne of God and tell God my sins. We ain't got to go to no pope. I ain't got to go to some guy that's got a little piece of bread and some wine that says I'm eating the body of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus, which is cannibalism.
Amen.
There's a bunch of other false junk in that bunch of garbage you better stay far away from. It's false religion.
Amen.
We are priests. Amen. We can go directly to the Lord. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, if you want the reference. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9.
Yeah.
We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation.
Yeah.
God has made us kings and priests, and we can go directly to the throne of God.
Amen.
I don't need a priest anywhere in the New Testament to go between me and God. Jesus Christ was our high priest that went between God for us, and we can go directly to the throne of grace. To obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It's false religion. It's what it is, corrupt. Which leads ultimately to wrongdoing. Wrongdoing, verse 6. So you got demonic worship, dead ways, and wrong and doing wrong. Where does it come from? Corrupt morals, to corrupt religion, to corrupt sight. You know what the world is? They're corrupt, they're blinded. We live in a blinded world. That's why people are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I said it just a moment ago. In whom the God of this world, little g in your King James Bible, have blinded the minds of them that believe not.
Amen.
You know why people are lost? They're blinded. You go up to people and say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I go to church." They're blinded.
Right.
"Well, I've been doing good. I'm working on it." They're blinded. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, the only thing that can save you is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did he die? Not only died, but died for our sins. Was buried and rose again the third day. That is the gospel message. But it's wrong. Look, here's the world in a nutshell, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This phrase is found in chapter 18 and verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. It's found in chapter 19, verse 1, and it's ultimately found in the last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. They'd done what was right in their own eyes. Why? Because there's no king in Israel. Do you know what verse 6 is? Pretty much, it's the central of all the problem. Verse 6, this is the root of the problem. You know what the root of the problem is? It's authority. There's no authority. And if there's no authority, everybody does that what's right in their own eyes. Do you know what's sad? When it comes to the family idolatry, you know why our families are in a mess? There's no authority.
Amen.
Kids rule the house. It's completely backwards. No, a man leads his wife,
yeah,
and they lead their children. And God puts those families in a church where God gives them a pastor that'll take a King James Bible, a king in their lives with authority, and guide their lives. But we don't like authority. And then there's no authority in our law system. All the cops are corrupt and wrong. That's the world we're living in. All the preachers are wrong. No parents are doing it right. And everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. And we raise a generation where they can't submit to any kind of authority. I don't work, I'll marry another one. If I don't like it here, I'll go to another church. If I don't like it here, I'll go to court and fight the laws. God forbid they're going to lock me up for smoking dope. Because they don't like authority. And they go to the schoolhouse and the teachers can't do nothing with them. Because the authority at the schoolhouse, the principal and the parent and the teachers have no authority. You can't diss them. You can't tell them they're wrong. Just pat them on the wrist. Pass them through. No kid left behind. Well, we really did it good, didn't we? And then they go out in the world because you couldn't tell them nothing at the schoolhouse. And mom and daddy couldn't tell them nothing at home. And you can't tell them nothing in the job. So they can't keep a job. Boss man, chew me out. Well, you shouldn't have been late. You shouldn't have broke the machine. But they ain't going to have nobody tell them they're wrong because they got a problem with authority.
Preach it, bro.
That's the world. Every man does that's what's right in his own eyes. Why? Because there's no king in Israel. You know what all started at? When they started attacking that King James Bible. And the authority was broken down and they printed all kind of ways to make it look good. You know what all these other versions are? They're the modern day philosophy of Dr. Phil and Oprah that are corrupting the minds of people to swallow this kind of society hook, line, and sinker. It's corrupt. They can't even see it. And when you stand up straight, you look like they think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what planet did you come from?
Yep.
Now, yeah, you're right. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
We're strangers in this land. We go into a city that belongs,
amen,
to our God.
Amen.
But on the way, we're going to tell you the right way. It's the central problem. The authority's been broken down. And once you stop submitting to authority, you all hell is going to break loose in your life. And you're going to start worshiping false gods. It's going to destroy your family. Your family's going to start worshiping false religions. And then you're going to have no sight to what's going on. And this is what you're looking at in this world. They're blinded. Their morals are gone. Their corrupt religion, which matches their morals. And they're blind. Like, they got their head in the sand. You ever talk to people? You ever try to witness? They don't know where they're coming or going. They don't even know what bathroom to go in. Who would have ever thunk it? We don't even know whether they are a girl or a boy.
Come on, bro.
Common morals. We've come a long way. In the wrong way.
Amen.
It's family idolatry. And this is where it started. And it's going to lead community, and it's going to lead regional, and it's going to lead nationally. And that's pretty much where we're at. It's worldwide, man. You know, if you go to other countries, Ben had the privilege to go to several other countries. Brother Luke Miller flies all over the world. You can talk to him about it, I'm sure. You know what? America is the standard. Everybody wants to be like America. And buddy, what kind of standard have we got? Could you imagine what's following us? You know what? We better get our heads out of the sand. We better set our houses in order. Would you rather try to keep this thing as straight as possible and clear as possible so the world can see some light in this dark age? Family idolatry. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you're lost. Maybe you're here and you're in sin. Man, you need to get some things under the blood, get this thing settled, and serve the Lord is what you need to do.